Radio's The Hub with Louise Clark.
So if you're looking to improve your fitness for 2024...
I am absolutely thrilled to be joined again by Oisín Mulligan from Mulligan's Fitness. Thank you so much for joining me. It's great to talk to you.
Louise, it's always a pleasure to jump on here and have a chat and go back and forth.
Absolutely, definitely. Now, we are coming towards the end of January, and only yesterday I was talking all about like fitness equipment that you might have invested in the first week of January, whether or not you're still using it. And I think coming up to this point of the month, I think people are getting paid. You might be heading out, you might be going for dinners and all that kind of stuff. And it's easy to maybe forget about the goals that you once set yourself way back 3 weeks ago. Is there any advice that you have for people where they can kind of keep their mindset, maybe allow themselves to, you know, go to a party, go, you know, out for dinner, all of those kind of things, because you have to live at the same time, but also not to kind of go overboard and to stick with what you've been doing?
Yeah, so I think the main trap that a lot of people set in January is really, really high expectations. I know it's really, really good, and a lot of people say set the highest goals you possibly can or whatever, but it can also be a massive drawback. So for a lot of people, and I'd see this with a lot of people that I'd work with, and it's the difference between people who are successful or not, it's generally their ability to set lower goals and higher goals. So what I say to people is, if you set minimum and maximum goals, and be clear what your goals are as well. So around this time of January, people kind of forget what they were aiming for, or forget what they were doing, or if they've been successful. So go back and list all the things that you've done positively since the start of January. That's going to help push you on. But also going forward, if you set minimum goals that are easy to take off, for example, what a minimum goal for me would be is I'm going to get out in 2 walks per week. And now guys listening might be like, sure, that's not a huge amount, but it makes me successful. It's not a huge amount, but when I take it off, then I'm going to be proud of myself and I'm likely to continue on and do it again. And then set a maximum goal, which would be your regular goal of, I want to get out and walk 6 times this week. And if you have that and you come somewhere in between, if you're hitting the minimum goal, you're going to be happy because you're taking it off. If you're hitting the maximum goal, then you're going to be absolutely delighted. But if you only have a maximum goal of, say, I want to get in 6 walks, well, then you're a failure if you get any less. And you're not really, because you're doing more than what you did at the beginning. I think that's huge. And one thing you kind of touched on there, Louise, I think is a massive one for people, is like going for meals out or going for nights out or whatever it might be, or eating a meal that people might class as unhealthy or something that you can't incorporate within your diet. You actually can. With this, I want to try and change people's mindset with it, because if you change your mindset surrounding foods and surrounding what foods you're eating, it's going to make a huge difference to your progress. Because most reason people give up is because they feel like they're not succeeding, they feel like they're doing everything wrong, or they can't stick to things. And the majority of that comes from either going over the calories or eating too much or having a takeaway. But reframe that thing that you've just done that you would class as negative more so as a positive. And how can you do this? Is it simply, if I go for a takeaway or a night out, it's not necessarily that it's a bad thing. I'm enjoying myself a little bit more. And if I do this, that it's going to allow me to stick to things for a lot longer. And on top of that, calories are energy. So all foods have calories. And so when we eat them, it doesn't turn straight to fat. It's build up of calories. And then if we eat too many, that's stored as fat. So what happens then is, if you see calories as energy and see it, I ate more energy than what I usually did yesterday, I'm going to have more energy today to move around and exercise more. So it reframes the whole mindset. How I describe it to people, and it really, really gets some people, is like a hill, right? Mm-hmm. Is it easier to walk uphill or is it easier to walk downhill? Most people are going to be like, it's easier to walk downhill. Well, then why do most people build a big, massive hill of negativity the next day after going off track? So for example, the negativity might be, I've overate, I have gone miles over my calories, I haven't exercised, I haven't done this, I haven't done that. So you wake up in the morning time and you have a hill to climb, because you have to get over all those negative barriers that you created to start making progress towards your goal again. Meanwhile, if you woke up by just reframing your mind and saying to yourself, I went over my calories, not that big of a deal, I have more energy, I'm a normal human being, I'm not a robot, I can't stick to things perfectly, and I'm not supposed to, because food is there to be enjoyed as well, and time with my friends and family is important, you then start at the top of the hill and then you can walk down towards the bottom of the hill towards your goals. And simply reframing that is going to allow a lot of people to continue on with their goals, because most people are so harsh on themselves, because you're so used to telling yourself the story of, I'm fat, I'm useless, I'm lazy, I can't do this. And that instantly gives you the feedback when you do something that you associate with someone that is fat, because you're not fat, you have fat. Mm-hmm. And so the second you come to realize that, when you do go off track or you start eating foods that maybe you class as you shouldn't, it's not instantly, I'm fat, I'm lazy, I can't do this, or I'm not able to do that. Instead, it's like, I'm a normal person, that's okay, and I'll just get back on track the next day. So changing your mindset surrounding food and who you are as a person and the things that you do is a super simple task to do. It takes time. It takes time to sit down and maybe even write down all the negative things and switch them to a positive. And some people listening to this might be thinking, oh, this is all wishy-washy. I have coached over 1,500 people at this stage, and the second that you change your mindset, that's when the changes follow. Everybody understands that to lose fat, you have to eat less and move slightly more. Yeah. It's not, then that's not the issue. If everybody knows that, that's not the issue. The issue is the mindset surrounding behind that. People are sick of being called fat and lazy and all this sort of stuff that actually just leads to more negatives than positives. Little bit of a rant, but hopefully that answers
It does make sense, because I suppose I grew up in a culture where, you know, you were looking at magazines where, you know, like models were painfully thin, you know. And I remember growing up as a teenager, because, you know, like I, you know, didn't feel comfortable wearing a crop top or whatever. And like, you know, you carry that into your later life that, like, you know, in order to be successful, you must be X size, you know. And like what you say, like, if you are somebody who carries a bit of weight, you have fat, you are not fat. But I think through social, not even social media, but like the media of, you know, the noughties and, you know, up until a couple of years ago where we started thinking about body positivity and, you know, loving yourself for who you are and eating properly and not beating yourself up because you went to your staff meeting and had two slices of pizza. And, you know, because there's been so much like that people have battled with media and looking at the fronts of magazines and all of that kind of stuff in the last, like, number of years, that it's like, as you say, change in your mindset, that like, if you've a bit more if you've a bit more confidence about yourself, you can reach your goals and to keep motivating yourself.
Super important in that as well. So a lot of people that would be listening and people from years of dieting would think, oh, I'm a better person if I'm a lower scale weight. I'm more confident if I'm a lower scale weight. I'm happier in myself if I'm a lower scale weight. I went from 130 kilos to 60 kilos. And when I was my lightest at 60 kilos, I started to associate the scale weight as well with my happiness, my confidence and everything. And what happened is then, because I was associating that, I started to try starve myself to get even lower in the scales, lower in the scales, lower in the scales. To the point where I remember one single day I told my mom to wipe everything off my dinner plate, just leave me with a chicken breast. And that's so, so dangerous.
Yeah.
But what actually is the difference there and why my confidence was improving and why I was getting happier wasn't connected to the scale weight at all. It was actually from challenging myself to do difficult things. Because when we challenge ourselves to do difficult things, or we prove to ourselves that we can do things and stick to things, like even going to the gym is such an anxious situation for so many people because they're afraid of being judged. Once you do it once, that confidence that comes back to you from that is coming back to you from doing a challenging task, not because you've lost weight. To a certain extent, yes, you might feel a little bit better if you lose a little bit more weight, but it's not all connected to that. And I think when you put all the emphasis on a number, it leads to people giving up as well, because for a lot of people listening here, the reason they've given up in January or this far into January is because their scale weight maybe hasn't gone down, or their scale weight has gone up. So none of this is working. But if you focus on all the things that are outside of that, that you're improving, that's what's most important, because it's completely normal if you're doing absolutely everything correctly. Like me as a sports scientist, I diet, and if I want to lose a little bit of body fat, I do make sure I'm doing everything perfectly, and my scale weight still sometimes doesn't move and will still sometimes go up. And in some diets or some ways of looking at it is, oh, that's negative, my scale weight's gone up, that means I'm not doing anything correct, when it's actually incorrect, especially with females. Going your menstrual cycle, the week before your weight can go up 3 pounds, 4 pounds. I've worked with women who, during the menstrual cycle, during the period, what can happen is their weight can go up 6 pounds, and they get really, really upset about it and give it all up. But meanwhile, it's just water weight and they don't realise that. So I think there needs to be a great understanding surrounding weight loss, a great understanding surrounding positive change, because that's what we're looking for. Weight loss regardless, just a positive change, one small step every single day. One brilliant tip for everybody here for January that might be struggling is a thing that I heard from a guy, Lewis Potts, and I've been coaching directly with him recently, and he's been doing stuff with my group and I've been helping him out, is something called No Zero Days. Okay, so it's something where every single day you're going to do one thing towards your goals. You're not going to finish your day unless you take one step forward. That one step forward might be even just drinking one glass of water. That one step forward might be a 2 minute walk. That one step forward might be, I don't know, anything that you can think of, maybe eating vegetables with your dinner. But that's a step forward, and seeing that as a positive then, and okay, I finished my day with one tick on the board. Okay, tomorrow I'm going to do the same. That's consistency. It's not about being perfect. It's just doing something rather than nothing. And everybody has time. Everybody says, oh, I don't have time to do this. Everybody has time for at least a 2 minute walk, or everybody has time for at least a glass of water throughout the day. So when you get into your bed in the evening time or at night time and you haven't done anything towards your goals, make it your mission to make sure you get up and do one thing before you go to sleep, whether it be drinking a glass of water, as I said, or getting out for 2 minutes outside.
Ah, and I think that's brilliant, because, you know, you don't necessarily have to say to yourself, right, okay, today I'm going to run a marathon, let's go. Because I find that sometimes that you set your goals so high that you're like, okay, I've got this holiday I want to go on. I better be, you know, two sizes smaller. And like, that's not realistic. You know, you're setting yourself up to fail. But I love the fact that you promote these small goals, you know, even if it is, look, today I'm going to drink 500 milliliters more water than I did yesterday. I'm going to build up to drinking, you know, as much as you need to, or whatever it is. You know, like if somebody is struggling with those basics, you know, what advice would you have for them? Is it to like pare it all back and not be so hard on yourself?
Yeah, I think there's loads of different techniques and ways in which you can build these positive habits. One that works for me is something that I like to call like habit stacking or pairing. So essentially what you do is attach your goals or what you want to achieve with things that you already do throughout the day. For example, if you want to move around a little bit more, get your steps up, maybe that's a goal for your new year. When you're brushing your teeth in the morning time, hope everyone brushes their teeth. You take a couple of steps while you're brushing your teeth, walk around the house. If you have a phone call during work, instead of sitting down at your desk, maybe you get up and walk around while you're taking the phone call. When you're going to work, you park further away, park your car further away when you go. Small little simple things like this. Other things that you can use is like a coaxing technique, because we're all like big kids at the end of the day. Say you want a kid to do something for you, like, oh, I'll go buy you this in the shop if you go in there. Or what we can do for us as adults is like, okay, I'm going to make sure I get out and do a walk while I get my coffee, or I'm going to do a walk and then after I'm going to get my coffee, then I'm going to allow myself. Yeah. Or if I do this X thing throughout the day, I'm going to allow myself to sit down on the couch and watch a Netflix episode. Or when I'm watching my Netflix episode, maybe I'll move around while doing that. It's attaching things so that it becomes easier to implement within your day-to-day basis. And I think, as you said there, like paring your goals down, making them simple as possible. Even one massive thing. A lot of people would say, sign up for my coaching or come to me and be like, oh, I'm not doing this right. I'm not doing that. And right, a lot of guys here for January might be feeling the exact same. Instead of seeing that as a negative, see it as a positive of, okay, this is what I'm not doing right. So how can, what techniques can I use to figure out how to do it correctly? For example, people overeating at evening time. If you're really, really struggling with your hunger in the evening, rather than say, oh, I'm failing at my diet, I can't do this, look at it and be like, why am I overeating at evening time? Maybe it's because I'm not eating enough food throughout the day. Maybe it's because my protein isn't high enough. Maybe it's because my calories are too low and my calories are too hard to stick there. Simple things like that. And start where you are now. A lot of people would ask me, Oisin, how many calories should I eat? How much food should I eat? What are my portion sizes? Start with what you're doing now and make small changes to get to where you need to be. There is no perfect. If I tell you the perfect number, it's going to be really hard for you to hit that perfect number. So then the perfect number doesn't matter. The perfect number is one that you can stick to over a long period of time, not one that you lose weight really, really quickly and put it all back on. And this is the biggest mistake that people make, is like, I want to lose this amount of weight this year and I want to lose this much by the end of January. Answer me this, everybody that would be listening to this over the radio or wherever. If you got to the weight that you want to be tomorrow, okay, and you woke up, would you be happy? Okay, most people probably be, yeah, probably be a bit happier than what I am now. Okay, if you put that weight all back on the next couple of weeks, which will probably happen if you lose it very, very quickly, will you be more unhappy than you were before you lost it in the first place? Probably. And that's the last thing that you want to do, because the more that you lose weight to only put it back on, the more unhappy that you're going to get in yourself, the more distraught that you're going to get in yourself, the more body focused that you're going to become, and the more at risk of eating disorders and plus other things on top of that that you're going to become. It's actually more healthy to just maintain a higher weight anyways, rather than lose weight, put it back on, lose weight, put it back on. So ask yourself those questions and kind of switch your mindset with it. But again, slow things down.
Yeah. The last question I have for you, because I know, you know, like the weather has been fairly rotten. Like people maybe aren't getting out for their walks or getting out to their classes or whatever. What if you're somebody who, you know, you might be in terms of good with your food throughout the day, but then you get home, you know, you're sitting beside your housemate or your partner or whoever it is, and you might be like not mindfully thinking about your food. Maybe you're eating out of boredom, you know, like I think we can all be terrors when it comes to like, you know, that couch food. You know, you have the cup of tea and then the biscuits come out and then you might have like something else. And then you might, you know, like because it's so cold and you can't necessarily get out, it's dark and everything. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who are doing this. They're sitting down and during watching a couple of episodes of Netflix, you're kind of grazing on food that maybe you don't need as fuel.
Yes. Okay. Really, really good question, because I was actually thinking about this today. I'm going to make a video on it soon enough. And it's just a saying that I was thinking myself of what way to put this to people. It's you consciously choose what you eat, or you're going to unconsciously choose what you're going to eat. Mm-hmm. So if you know when you're sitting down in the evening time that you normally snack and that it's very hard to sit down and not avoid these snacks with your partner or whatever, well, then consciously plan for it. Allow yourself to have these meals. Put together maybe a couple of low-calorie snacks, or maybe just put together your favorite snacks so that you can have them while having your meal, but portioned out, rather than what most people do is, okay, I'm going to try to stick to my diet and not do this. I don't want to do this. We're telling ourselves we can't have it. We're going to only want it more. And then what's going to happen is, because we haven't consciously planned, what's going to happen is we're unconsciously going to eat the lot that's in the press.
Yeah.
So plan it out probably a little bit better is what I'd say to you. And really, really good tip as well, which I find with this is, food pairing. So we want to choose a food, obviously, that aligns with our goals, that is a little bit more nutritious. I don't like saying good or bad foods, because no foods are good, no foods are bad. It's the overall diet that we want to look at. So what you want to choose is a nutritious food, one that aligns with your goals again. And then what you want to add to that is the food that you do want. If you want a snack in the evening time, you want your chocolate bar, your packet of popcorn, whatever it is, instead of just having that alone, how about you pair that with a protein yogurt? How about you pair that with a fruit or a banana or something? Because then when you pair the two foods together, you're still getting the enjoyment aspect, you're getting the nutritious aspect. It's going to keep you full. And if you're not hungry enough for the two of them, well, then likely what's happening is you're bored of meeting and you can kind of pull back from that and be like, yeah, okay, makes you a little bit more mindful. But it takes time. You're not going to get that perfect. You're going to overeat sometimes, even time. I still do. I'm a personal trainer for, 5 years? Been studying nutrition for however long. I'm a normal human being, the same as everyone else. Some people online and some coaches like to make out they're better than everyone else so they can sell you a program. I don't care about selling anything to anybody. I just want to make a difference to people's lives. And that's why I come on here and do this sort of stuff, to try and give as many tips as I can. My thing for you would be, understand that you're going to mess things up from time to time and you will be okay. Learn from it, try and implement a couple of things. And look, sometimes there's more things to be worried about than having a chocolate bar with your family members and stuff like that. Because going forward, a year's time, 2 years' time, you're not going to think back to that. You're going to think back to the savage film you watched, the good times that you had, not the pound that you gained. And I think that's massive for people.
Yeah, absolutely. Oisin, as always, I could literally talk to you for the next hour about this, because I think there's so many bits of information in there that are going to help people. But if people want to follow you online or check out what you're doing, where is the best place to go?
So Mulligan's Fitness is my Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. I'm on all of those. Or if you look up Oisin Mulligan, you'll probably come across me somewhere. I'm sure you'd probably have a video up on the iRadio Instagram page. Shout that one out for you as well. So yeah, if you want me, I'll be there.
Super. Oisin, as always, thank you so much. And I'll be looking forward to catching up with you again soon.
Thanks a million, Louise. You're a legend.
iRadio's The Hub with Louise Clark.